In our remaining minutes, if you would take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Back in late September of last year, in our junior and senior high Bible class, we spent some time talking about Enoch and looking specifically at what took place in his life and the uniqueness of a word that is used there. It's used a few times throughout the Old Testament, but limited in its use when dealing with people. And I want to begin reading at verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for these wonderful statements that are made concerning your servants of the past and their desire to walk into commune with you. I pray that you would teach us, dear Father, as we need to know what your word has to say, and that we might have the same desire to commune with you. I pray that you'd work in our hearts in a very powerful way, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned the word walked there as the unique word that's used, and it's a verb form that has a prefix attached to it, hith. Hith halek is the word used, translated in our King James Bibles as walked. And it's the word commune. And when you see the prefix hith there, that's a very rare verbal prefix, and it means to step up the intensity of the verb. In other words, there was a very special relationship or communion that Enoch began with God at the age of 65. Now, I'm going to be 61 soon, and I've got a few more years to go before I'm 65, but I thought about that in relation, though. What were those other years like for Enoch? And then what happened in his life that he began to commune with God in a very unique relationship that was so intense that God just took him off of the earth and took him on to heaven at age 365. So exactly 300 years after he starts communing with God in this unique relationship, that God takes him to be with him. And I got to thinking about this phrase, and I especially over the weekend, as I was reading posts from Sunshine, and I began to think about what had happened in Enoch's life to bring him to the place where he began to commune with God in a very powerful way. And by the way, this verbal form is used of Noah in chapter 6. We read that same hith halek used of Noah walked with God. It's used of other individuals in the book of Genesis in three locations, of Joseph. It's used of Moses. It's used of David. It's used of Hezekiah, this particular word. Daniel. It's not always translated walked with. Sometimes it's translated differently, but it's the idea of intense communion with God. And it's important for us to see this, because one of the things that I think is lacking in many believers' lives is this closeness with God. That God can trust you to go through intense, horrible, difficult circumstances and still continue to trust in God in the midst of that. I'm reminded of so many times of Job, who went through these horrible, intense situations, and yet he continued on with God. I want to read to you what Sunshine posted, because it is a testimony to me, and I trust it will be an encouragement to you, because she demonstrates in this post something that you don't see very often in other believers' lives, and she just put it out there in the open. They got the word that Todd has tumors, and they're embedded in his brain stem. That controls all the involuntary muscles of the heart, the lungs, and the eyes, and things of that nature. And this is what she said concerning their prayers. Todd is slated to have surgery on the 14th. Our prayers are as follows: that God will magnify himself and receive maximum glory, that our hearts will be tender and submissive as God accomplishes his will and does his good work in our hearts, that God will protect our children's hearts and help them to trust in him, that God will draw others to himself, that we will believe the truth of Scripture and the promises of God more than our own feelings, that medical professionals and others will see Christ in us, that God will use these circumstances to make us more like Christ, that God will heal Todd and restore his body if it pleases him to do so. This is coming from the lips of his wife. If it pleases God to do so. That we will delight in the kindness and mercy of God and in the sufficiency of Jesus Christ and his grace. Would you please join us in this prayer? And then she puts down this wonderful hymn. My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home. I want you to think for just a moment in this regard. Enoch communed with God, and God took over his future. Are you following what I'm saying here? Enoch communed with God. He made that the intense purpose of his life. I'm going to commune with my Lord. And this intensified purpose in his heart led him in a way that for 300 years, in a way, a fellowship that he had not enjoyed in the first 65 years fully. But notice what happens. And I brought this out to the young people. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Who acted? God did. God took over Enoch's plans and said, you're coming with me. I'm taking you home. I don't know how many times I've been rebuked by God's word, but I want to tell you something. Whenever I study this passage and I shared it in my Bible class, one of the things that rebuked me is this sense of personal worship. Now, don't just think about church worship. This sense of personal worship to God and communing with Him is not me telling God anything. It's God being able to commune with me in such a way that I appreciate Him more and I give Him, I just turn my life over to Him. Whatever you want to do, Lord. You just take control. You do whatever you want to do. That's a different way of living. It's not the same as just getting up in the morning, brushing my teeth, and running off to work. It is a sense of my greatest need. Some people think their greatest need is just paying bills. Some people think their greatest need is getting something that they really want. Some people think their greatest need is accomplishing something that I get notoriety for. But I want you to know something here. Enoch caught something. Noah caught something. And these men that I mentioned, they grasp a hold of something that took over their thinking and said, my greatest need is not what I want. My greatest need is what God wants. What He wants. And I've repeated this phrase over and over again for the past several months. This idea of God's will being performed on earth, even as it is in heaven, is linked to this. Do I want God's will to be done even when I suffer greatly? Can we say that? Sunshine did. She put it out there. She said that Todd's life would be spared if it's God's will to do so. You know how hard that is for a mate to say something like that? This isn't just gibberish. This is how Sunshine posts on a regular basis. They have been through unfathomable suffering since 2011. Repeated trips to the doctor, hearing he's got tumors again. He's got to go through the treatments. He's got to go through radiation. He's got to have surgery. He's got to have chemo. And then all of the effects of that, and trying to raise 6 or 7 kids. And then 2 years ago, have one of them just swinging on a swing in the backyard. And the limb breaks. Comes down, changes their child's life on this earth forever. Now, you know what's sad? Is so many times, well, they probably were committing some sin. And God was just judging. What kind of nonsense is that? And yet, that's exactly what the disciples did. Remember what they said? Whenever they were exposed to this individual that had suffered for 30-something years, and they said, what sin has the fathers committed here? And Jesus said, oh, wait a minute. This is a purpose of God. For I am here. And He healed the man. But there was a purpose of God. God had taken over in that situation, and He had developed what He wanted to develop as far as His purposes. Our relationship is to get in tune with Him. Get in tune with Him. One of the most awful sounds is an out-of-tune instrument. And yet we're satisfied so many times being out of tune. And doesn't bother us. Doesn't bother us. When I was a kid, Mr. Oscar was his name. And he played the piano for his church. And he called up my mom and dad and said, does Todd play the trumpet? Tell him to come over to my house right now. We walked into his house. His son, Mark, played the trombone. And so he starts up with hymns. And every hymn that he played was 950 miles an hour. And I got out the hymn book and I tried to follow. I was just a young trumpet player. I didn't know what in the world transposing was. And neither did Mr. Oscar. He played by ear. He wasn't even playing the tune in the key that was in the book. He just picked it up by ear and started playing. And I was supposed to match that. Neither Mark nor I could play our horns with him. And the last thing that he said says, you really need to get home and practice, Todd. And I was just like, I told my mom and dad, I said, if Mr. Oscar calls and asks me to come over, would you tell him I'm not available till the 11th grade? I was in the 6th grade at the time. I couldn't do it. And I couldn't keep up with him because he was playing 900 miles an hour. But what, you know what the worst part was? His piano was way out of tune. It sounded like something that you'd find in an old saloon or in a Western movie. All right? It was out of... There was no tune in my horn to that piano because C was different every octave all the way up. If you know anything about music, that's a problem. And yet, there's so many times we're just satisfied with that. We're just satisfied with that. What brings satisfaction to a Christian? What truly brings satisfaction to a Christian is communion with God. The one who saved us, the one who loved us before the foundation of the world, the one who sent His Son. And we're satisfied with just living our lives. And if we get our Bible reading in today, well, okay. If not, I'm just too busy. God understands. Really? Is that how we look at communion? God just understands. This man, Enoch, at 65, came to the place and said, I want something more. Do I hear an amen? I want something more! And that's what we need. We need to grow to the place where we want something more. Where He takes over. And He rules. And I just don't run out and make decisions and do stuff. I check with Him first because He's my Lord and my Savior, and I want to commune with Him. I want to know. And if God sends a trial into my life that just blows me away, like what Mike is going through right now, and for him to have the sweet attitude that he has, praise the Lord. He's told me on more than one occasion, God has done so much in his life over the past 2 years. He said, the tenderness of my communion with the Lord has come to a place it never was before. Sunshine, to say that, no one wants their spouse to die. But there's something greater in her heart. God's will to be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. I'm going to develop this a little bit. I'm going to look at some of these characters. We're not to exalt the characters, but exalt the God that took over their lives. It wasn't Enoch's decision to go to God. I'm just going to go home with you. No, it was God's decision to do that. It was God that worked and said, all right, you're going to come on with me tonight. Can you imagine Enoch's family table that night? Where's Dad? Where's Dad? I don't think God left a note. Yeah, by the way, I've taken Enoch to be with me. It just, Enoch disappeared. Can you imagine? How do you get closure when Dad doesn't come home? Where did he go? I'll tell you what. We need, in Christianity today, we need a good dose of communion with God. And I'm not talking about communion that we're going to be celebrating on Sunday, though that is a part, it's part and parcel of what I'm dealing with here. But it's a personal worship of God each and every day. Not just say a quick prayer and rush off into the day, but communion with God. And I mean, when you're riding around in the vehicle and you're walking and you're going to different places, you're just talking to the Lord in your heart and mind. You start doing it out loud, and people are going to start wondering, it's time to send them off to the thing. But what I'm talking about is this communion with God. I don't want to do anything outside of His will. Because I want, on this earth, what goes on in heaven. That's a different way of looking at life. And I think if we examine ourselves, we'll find we come up short. But you know what? We don't have to beat ourselves up. At age 65, Enoch just said, I want something more. He didn't beat himself up and say, oh, I wish the previous 65 years. No, he just started and walked with God, fellowship with Him. And he enjoyed this relationship that was so much deeper and enjoyable. And when God said, you come home with me, he didn't have a problem. He didn't say, well, I'm supposed to have dinner with my wife tonight. I was really looking forward to taking my boys fishing this weekend. No, it was just, what a glorious thing to walk with God and to commune with Him. And we're gonna look further into this particular word because word for our benefit as believers in Christ. Father, dismiss us now with Thy blessing, and would You plant in our hearts a tenderness toward this subject, a seeking of something more than just the ho-hum everyday, get up, go about our duties, do our thing, go home, pillow our heads at night. And there's not this relationship that has been developed with You. Oh, You've done so much for us. You sent Your Son. You loved us before the foundation of the world. Your Son is in heaven preparing a place for us. We don't deserve any of that. But we can enjoy right now a fellowship that is tender and blessed and sweet. And it starts with personal worship. I pray that you would work in our hearts in a very powerful way, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.